Hey everybody, and welcome to Back Issues, the comic podcast so old we actually were there watching when Godzilla first rose from the seas. I'm your host Jason, with me tonight is Dick.
Hey.
Jamie.
Hello.
And our guest Kate. Now, contrary to popular belief, comics are not merely Americans. We may have made it into the multimedia Mongol it is today, but we're not the only ones that do it. So Back Issue is going to jump across the pond today to talk about Attack on Titan. Well, this is going to be an 80-issue run, so we're going to try to condense it as much as we can. As usual, spoilers abound, so, well, if you're going to keep listening, it's on you for what you get spoiled. I'm not going to take responsibility.
but keep listening, please.
Yeah. But by all means, please, spoil this for yourselves.
Okay, so what the fuck is an Attack on Titan?
Alright, take all of humanity at roughly a medieval level of technology and shove them into one gigantic walled city, like triple walls, concentric circles, right? Put your seat of government, in this case a king, in the dead middle with all of his affluent little lackeys around him. Second wall is tradesmen and such. You know, the backbone, which you would need for an infrastructure. The outer ring, which is really just human shields, is farmlands, cities, etc., or sub-cities, and so on and so forth.
Very Douglas Adams, if you know what I mean. Golga Frensham!
Yeah. I mean, it did cross my mind. But, now, what you're... They're in these walls because of the Titans, which are gigantic, asexual, creepy, just homunculi. They're not even quite people.
In more of a simpler sense, imagine a 50-foot tall ugly dude with no dick and no balls, just a bare spot, and he likes to eat people.
And they've got these like really weird smiles.
Yeah.
It's like they don't even have lips, really. They just have smiles like that. It's fucking weird.
So, basically, they're my drunkle?
Further than that, you know, the first one that you end up seeing is the Colossal Titan, which we'll go into more in a moment, but I just want to point out, he's the creepiest one of all, because he has no skin.
Yeah, well, so these giant drunk uncle-looking motherfuckers range from about 9 meters tall to 15 meters tall, which is pretty fucking impressive on its own. But those are only the butt nuts, the grunts.
The babies.
Yeah, the head of these titan hordes are irregular titans, which all have some really cool little aspect that makes them stand out. But they tend to be a lot bigger and more powerful. Like, there's one that's 50 meters tall. Tall enough that they can literally... Titan. Yeah. I'm gonna get to that, Kate. I like where you're going with this, but I'm gonna get to it. Like, the Armored Titan's big enough to actually put his head over the wall, the outside wall, and look in.
It's a really iconic scene that you'll see in memes sometimes.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Like, humanity will never be the same. That's pretty much where that's from.
And it's Aaron looking up at the wall while the Colossal Titan's coming over it.
Mm-hmm.
Such an iconic scene, though.
So, but, basically, if I get this right, it's like just basically a medieval dystopia, kind of? Is that what we're getting at here?
More of a post-apocalyptic rebuilding the world scenario, if you get my drift. It's more of like Renaissance technology, maybe slightly pre-industrial, like on the border of Renaissance and industrial age.
Yeah, that's fitting.
Okay, so that makes a little more sense. So it's not so much that like it's an oppressive government, it's more that this is literally the last bit of humanity.
I'm going to bite my tongue on that till later. So are you, Kate. I know. But, so humanity's living in these walled landmass. Outside the walls, they're supposedly wild people. Nobody really... They just kind of, like, are a myth. You know? No, yeah. People talk about him, but nobody's ever really seen him. Well, the people inside the city live in constant fear that these giant titans are just going to, you know, come in one day and overrun them. And, well, one day, it happens.
Yeah.
After a century or so, I might add.
Yeah, after like a century of quiet, the colossal titan shows up and busts through the wall.
With the armored titan, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, with the armored titan behind him, who is, I think, somewhere around 20 to 30 meters tall.
Fucking huge.
And covered in armored plates. Mind you, the rest of these titans are just spongy kind of meat bags.
I just want to point out, for reference sake, and they do provide a reference in the manga, the average human is only about 1.25 to 1.5 meters tall.
Yeah.
We
don't even come up to the thing's kneecaps. But, surprisingly enough, we're just the right size to be eaten. Which is what the titans do.
Well, I mean, can you blame them? We're kind of nutritious and delicious. I mean, at least I am.
God damn it.
Yeah, human beings are actually one of the most toxic things you could eat.
Yeah, because of all the stuff that you can get from eating the brains.
Not to mention all the shit we just put in our bodies in general.
That too.
But the point is brought up quite early in the manga that they don't eat humans for food. They eat them, you know, just for kicks.
Yeah, they actually have, like, they don't have a stomach. They just have an empty slot from their trachea to their abdomen. And it just dumps it in there. And it doesn't get digested. Eventually, you find out that titans will throw up uneaten masses of people randomly in the street. Just to make room to eat more.
Oh, dear God.
It's gross. Really gross. Terrifying.
But yeah, the story starts with the main character, Eren Jaeger. Which, funny note, Jaeger's, I think, German, isn't it, for Hunter?
Yes, which is why we have Jägermeister, because they gave it to Hunters to stay awake.
Yeah, or the Jaegers from Pacific Rim. Same idea, based on the name Hunter. But Eren has two friends, Mikasa and Armin. Armin is a bit of a crybaby, but is smarter than anybody around him. And Mikasa's just scary.
Oh, God.
I mean, she is legitimately more horrifying than a titan.
Dead inside.
You think she's dead inside, huh?
She certainly acts dead inside.
And she always came across as very reserved to me. She's definitely, I would not say dead inside, she has emotions and she does start to show them later on. And then
she can come across, though.
Yeah, she can come across as very detached.
But in reality, she loves Eren. I mean, whether it's romantic or as a sister, she loves him. And she shows it many times.
Now, since this is going to be an issue for you, Kate, there is no shipping on back issues.
That's okay, I don't really ship them. I just think they're real. It's just sometimes people are like, well, they're dating, and I'm like, they're not. But for the most part, I like them as a kind of a brother-sister kind of thing. I really like it.
So, after some background of the characters, we're given this Titan invasion. And during the Titan invasion, Eren's mom, in trying to save them, gets eaten.
Fucking dead.
I'm just like, it is one of the first time I watched the anime. I didn't expect that, you know?
Oh, God.
Because I watched the anime before I read the manga. I know heresy.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did come across as rather creepy. I don't know. This is maybe a little bit of a dark subject. I don't know if any of you guys have ever seen Boar stuff. It creeps me out, and this even creeped me out more than usually does.
I'll be honest, that stuff never creeped me out. It's always something I've avoided just because it's too out there. But no, I don't think that was, you know, too dark to bring up or anything, but it's definitely a theme, you know? I mean, you do have random people running around eating people.
Also, I'd like to point out that Aaron watches.
Uh-huh. Watches and gets splashed by the blood.
Yeah.
He's close enough to get hit by arterial spray.
I like that later on they show that he does still have flashbacks and some form of PTSD over it, because he does freak out over it. They add that humanity to him. I like it.
So instead of running like a bitch, which honestly I would not have blamed him to do, Aaron just instead stands up and says, I'm going to kill all the Titans. And he kind of gets sitting there going, how the hell is a kid going to kill Titans? So they bring you this wreck of a military system these people have. They have, like, military police, builders for keeping up the walls, and the scout regiment, which scout regiment gets shit done.
Mm-hmm.
The MPs are really kind of stuffed pigs. The builders actually do their job. They, you know, build the wall, work on it, fix it. But scout regiment's where shit gets done.
Well, if you could imagine a country under siege trying to maintain order, you know, that you get a better idea. I mean,
well, it's not even that they're trying to maintain order. They've had 100 years of peace and prosperity. They got weak. They fell into vice. These things happen.
Wasn't there a part where some guards in the beginning are like, yeah, we haven't had a Titan attack in, like, centuries or something like that. And you're like, well, no wonder they're so unprepared.
Exactly. It's like, oh, we haven't had a Titan attack in a century. Oh, so you've, instead of getting ready for it, you got lazy and complacent. Way to go, you know? But yeah, so Aaron and company decide to join the military, aiming for the scout regiment, which has the highest casualties of any group of the military, because they're the only ones actually doing anything. They, you know, go outside the walls, scout around, attack the Titans head on if they get too close to the walls. So, of course, they have a very high casualty rate. In fact, Kate, you remember the first story arc where Aaron first meets the scouts. It's because the commanding officer was delivering the remains to one of the people's mothers.
Mm-hmm.
And all they could recover was, I think it was like a part of an arm.
I thought it was like half of him. Oh, that's someone else. Never mind. That's Peter.
No, the first time the commander walks up to the mother and just hands her a bundle that's maybe 2 feet long. And about 6 inches wide and deep. And it's like, this is all we could recover of him?
It was his hand.
It was his hand, yeah.
That's all they found was his hand.
Don't get attached to any characters in this, because they will probably die. It's just, so many people have died, I can't even keep track.
Uh-huh. I mean, the cast at one point is actually pretty large.
So, mm-hmm. Would you say then that, it's not so much that the characters are expendable, but it's a good way of characterizing the fact that their situation is very perilous and almost feels hopeless, like they're fighting an insurmountable enemy?
It feels like they're emphasizing the stakes. I mean, one person against one Titan is not a match. Unless that person happens to be a plot character.
Well, you know, plot armor is the best armor.
Yes, and plot armor seems to be in full regalia in this mag.
Oh, yeah. And the cool thing is how they fight the Titans. Since they're so large, you can't climb one with, like, you know, hammer and pythons and shit. They employ this really cool set of armor, kind of, called the 3D maneuvering gear.
Yeah.
That lets them essentially Spider-Man. It zips out zip lines and pulls them along. It can send them flying around objects, or you can use it to hook yourself to a Titan and get to their only vulnerable point, which is literally a piece of the back of their neck about 4 or 5 inches tall. That would how? Yeah.
For a better visual example, try to imagine if you've ever played or seen play Shadow of the Colossus, you kind of get that kind of appeal from the combat, where you're basically scaling a monster and trying to find that one weak point that and knock him out with it.
Yep. But on the Titans, the weak point is actually where the brain stem of the human that they originally were. Spoiler. Oh no. Is. Yes, Dick, because you didn't know, and you too, Jamie. Titans were once people.
Bum, bum, bum.
I kind of got that idea very early.
Yeah, they hint it really early.
They don't really hint it. It's pretty blatant that's what happens.
I'm not gonna lie. They kind of foreshadowed it in the bit that I did read. Yeah. So it was very apparent, and I'm not kind of surprised. And this is going to sound bad, but it's kind of the obvious plot twist to go with, but it's not a bad thing that they pick the obvious path with a plot twist. It's just, if you didn't see it coming, maybe you probably shouldn't have been reading the manga, but like it was an eventuality that was done very well, in my opinion, from what I read.
Well, if you can't figure out for the first major league plot twist that that's what's going on, then...
yeah. But, they Spider-Man around to try to cut out a slice of the back of these things' neck with these really cool, like, giant X-Acto knife swords is the only way I could put it. It's like, you know those, the razors you can get where they click out of the handle?
Like a straight razor?
Yeah, like a box cutter.
Yeah.
It feels like a giant box cutter that they're using. Because if you pay attention, the blades can break. So they have on their 3D maneuvering gear holsters that have more blades in them. So it's really like a giant box cutter. But
cool.
Yeah, it's actually really cool how they use them. So yes, Aaron and company join the military, join the scout regiment, managed to inspire a bunch of other people that were not going to do it to join the scouts. I mean, he manages to get people that wanted cushy MP jobs to turn around and say, I'm going to join the scouts.
They got Potato Girl.
Potato Girl, yeah.
Very important.
Potato Girl is amazing.
Turns out to be pretty fucking awesome, to be honest.
You tell the story. Why do they call her Potato Girl?
Okay, so in the orientation for the military, or for the training regiment, actually, you know the normal thing, the drill sergeant's going down the line, pretty much berating everybody he can. He's yelling at the one bald kid, I can't remember his name now. It's like a girl's name, I don't fucking remember. He stops halfway through, and he hears this sound, and he's staring into the crowd of all these soldiers. He's like, what the hell is that? And he sees this girl eating a potato, and he just walks up to her like, what are you doing? She's like, I'm just eating. I'm eating a potato.
Microphone activated.
I don't know. The whole thing pretty much devolves to she's just eating a potato because she wants to at a very inappropriate time. And she gets in trouble for it, and she has to run a whole bunch for punishment.
She had to run for like a day.
Yeah, it was Connie, a chick name.
Yeah, Connie Springer. But yeah, so after Aaron gets all these people to join the scout regiment, they meet the two heads of the scout regiment. One of who is literally every fangirl's wet dream. That'd be Captain Levi.
Oh, I actually love him.
See? There it is. And then there's Captain Irwin, who is actually one of my favorite characters. Because you can't break Irwin. I mean, you can torture him, beat the hell out of him, do anything you want. He's just like, no, I'm not going to break. I believe in what the scouts are doing. I believe what the government's doing is wrong. And he's just, a very strong, gung-ho character. But he's very reserved, calm, and intelligent about it.
Armin's a cutie pie. I don't care what anyone says. I really don't.
So, yeah, they join the scouts, and they're trying to figure out how to destroy all Titans, basically. Because Aaron, even, like, it's years later at this point. He was 14 in the original.
I thought they were 15.
Somewhere in that range. But it's been years, and Aaron still is gung-ho, I'm going to destroy all the Titans. Well,
I'm going to kill them.
Kate. I'll let you take this one. Tell them about the first mission.
I want to kill a motherfucking Titan. Anyway, I don't actually remember this part too well because it's just been so fucking long. I got into this when I was like 16. I'm 20 now. I'm 17 actually. Fuck. You're actually gonna have to help me with this one because is that the one? I'm actually having.
They're going out to one of these districts that have been overtaken by the Titans and trying to clear them out.
Oh, yeah. That was the one where you find out some stuff. Okay.
Yeah.
So they were trying to clear out some stuff from the street. Some Titans from the street, I mean. And something happens. I don't know. It's just been so long. You'll have to forgive me. But
Aaron happens. Winds up, yeah.
Yeah, everyone gets pretty much just killed. Everybody is getting chopped the fuck down.
Well, it was Aaron and company's first outing, really, as part of the scout regiment. So, I don't even think they were full scouts at the time.
I thought they were.
It might have been, like, yeah. But everybody was freezing, you know? Everybody was freezing up and making rookie mistakes.
The manga very clearly refers to them as recruits.
Oh, I thought they were actual.
Yeah, the ceremony to get them in is scout regiment. It happens later.
But what happens is, as the most one of the more interesting parts, is Mikasa's somewhere else. She's fighting this Titan, and Armin and Eren are on a rooftop fighting this one, and Armin gets almost eaten. He's put into the mouth of the Titan. Eren, I think it's when Eren grabs him. No, it's Eren in the mouth of Armin, and Armin, it's one of those two.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, it's been so long.
Oh, it's been forever for me, too.
I know, I haven't reread them in forever. But,
yeah,
long
Jamie,
story short,
hold on a sec. Jamie, fill in our gaps here.
Yeah, this is Mikasa gets assigned to the rear guard. Eren and, Armin are in the second guard, so to speak, and the first guard gets absolutely trounced when Walrosa gets broken down. Armin, scared out of his mind, watches as his entire platoon gets devoured by Titans, and then he almost gets devoured himself. Eren does the heroic sacrifice thing, jumps into the Titan's mouth, kicks Armin out, and then gets eaten himself.
Which allows for one of the early on, it's probably the coolest twist. All right, Kate?
Yeah, so basically,
okay.
Wait, after a
I said Kate.
Bit, oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. But what happens is he's in the stomach fluid, the grossness that is, well, it's not really stomach, whatever. He's in the grossness that is the Titan, and he's freaking the fuck out. And then it goes to a shot of him sinking. His face is being covered with all the shit in there. And then you're on the outside of the Titan, and then boom! Out comes Eren as a Titan. And he rips shit. And he saves Mikasa because she got cornered somewhere by a Titan. And he just kicks everyone's shit in. All these Titans are attacking him now because they can sense that he was a human or some shit. And, okay. And then he saves his bros in the... who were cornered in this building, and there you go.
Yeah. That's his secret. He's always angry. Sorry.
They didn't take it so well.
So from there, the stories start passing around about this rogue Titan. And people start figuring out who it is. And they try to bring him... like, one of the more cowardly generals tries to bring him up and execute him. And Eren gets saved... when they shoot a cannon at him, and he transforms partially and stops the cannonball.
It's actually one of the cooler looking scenes.
Yeah, because he's got, like, this half-formed titan around him. And it's all just, like, muscle and bone. And, yeah, it's just so visceral looking. I loved it. But one of the actual smarter generals, General Dot Pixis, decides, we have this weapon against the Titans. Why aren't we using it? And literally just saves Aaron's life and says, you're our new weapon.
Quickly pointing out that Dot Pixis doesn't come into the scene, but this is what Armin is telling the lesser commander, because he wants to not only kill Aaron, he wants to kill Mikasa and Armin as well, because they try to defend him. And then Dot Pixis basically steps in and tells him to stand down, because he agrees it's a really good idea.
So they go about finding how Aaron is able to trigger this Titan form, and it's got a mental and physical part to it. He has to have an idea in his mind of what he wants to do. And then he has to be injured. Like, something has to cause him to spill blood for him to transform. And then he's not mindless like the other Titans. He just is limited to that idea he had before he transformed. Like, if he had the idea to go beat the shit out of a bunch of Titans, he's going to run out there and just start swinging. If he didn't have an idea, he doesn't transform. He just sits there and bleeds like an idiot. But the really cool thing is, because Aaron does lose limbs in the course of all of this, when he transforms...
He loses an arm first.
Yep. When he transforms to a Titan and back, he's whole again. It pretty much heals his body.
It's mentioned quite early that the reason that they have to attack that vulnerable spot is because they use cannons to blow their heads off. But unless they do hit that particular spot, they will completely regenerate.
It's one of the more tender and sweet kind of things where you get to see the friendship between the three main characters. But the one time whenever Aaron's arm gets bitten off the first time, Armin is like, what the hell happened? And he like holds his hand and Aaron's hand just kind of naturally grabs onto his. And they're just sitting there and they're crying and stuff. I don't know. It was really tender and sweet. I always loved that part.
But yeah, so really he's got this basis of pretty cool power set. I mean, he's not all the way there because these irregular Titans can do really cool shit like be 50 foot tall and shoot steam out of their pores, but... Or, you know, be covered in impenetrable armor. But he's definitely got something to him, you know?
Okay, so let me just... Oh, sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say, even if it is, it's just, hey, I look like a Titan and can beat the living hell out of them.
Okay, so let me just run a quick synopsis here overall then. So we have a main character with something tragic that happened who now has a super cool power, and we have hook shots and climbing and all sorts of craziness and box knife swords, and basically it's a sword that shoots blades. I'm totally in. Sign me up. This is awesome.
It doesn't shoot blades, but it's kind of like they're replaceable blades.
It is awesome.
Yeah, it's like you break one on, like, you hit a Titan's vertebrae, it snaps the blade, you just pop it out, click a new one in, and keep going.
Okay, that's pretty cool.
And there's actually a 4-player co-op game of this coming up, Dick, for PC and console. But can you say I'm getting copy for PC? I want to swing around like Spider-Man and cut up Titans.
Dude, definitely. I definitely can see why you would be interested in that. This sounds like the perfect universe for... Is it Platinum who's doing it?
I don't know who's doing it off the top of my head, but I've seen video of it. It's pretty sweet.
All right, so then what happens pretty much after this whole first discovery of him getting his power, and like they decide, well, we're going to use you as a weapon. Like, what sort of is the aftermath of this?
Well,
well, That's the thing. The aftermath is like, I'll let you know when it gets to there. Oh, the game is already out.
Yeah, it's already out. By the way, Koei Tecmo is the developer.
I thought you were just
It's out in Japan. It's all right. It's not out here yet because I don't have it yet.
Okay, well, it's out in Japan.
Shut up, you.
I don't read Weeaboo, sadly. And hell, I wish I did read Weeaboo. But yeah,
don't we all wish that?
The whole idea of resolution, Dick, there is no resolution. You just keep losing people left and right.
There's no rest.
It's the 10 little Indians idea all over again.
There's no rest anywhere.
Pretty much after Aaron is found out to have this ability, the story gets kind of interesting. It's more now looking back on older hints and plot lines and trying to figure out the mystery of the Titans. And it goes everywhere. I mean, it literally goes to thriller, political thriller, straight action, horror. I mean, it covers all that ground trying to bring all these plot lines together. Like, why there's no Asians except for Mikasa, really. And that's a really fucked up storyline.
You want to talk about that?
I'll let you handle that.
Well, I was thinking I could just tell the backstories of all three people. Mikasa's is going to be the one that's the longest. Okay, so you know Aaron's backstory. He was okay up until he saw his mom get fucking eaten by a Titan. So, except for one thing in Mikasa's story. We're going to go with Armin because he's quick. Now, Armin grew up kind of sad, but he was fine. But he lived with a grandfather who loved him very much and worked very hard for him. But he got bullied a lot while he was growing up. And then we got Mikasa. Well, he became friends with Aaron when they were younger. And Aaron has stood up for him. Anyway, Mikasa used to live in a nice little house with her mother and her father. Her mother was the last Oriental, as they call her, person in the world, as far as I know.
Well, in the area, at least.
Yeah, in that area, and her father is a white dude, so as you can tell, she's mixed. And that's important in a second. And then one day, Aaron's family is friends with Mikasa's family, and they were expecting Aaron's family to come over to visit. And, Guess who knocks on the door, and guess who it wasn't? It was not Aaron's family. Not at fucking all. It was some bandits. That's what I'm gonna call them for now. And they break in. They wreck shit. They kill the father and the mother right in front of Mikasa, and they kidnap her. So they get her all the way to their little headquarters, which is this little rinky-dink house. And they throw her in front of the boss. And the boss is pissed off because he wanted the mother and not her. Because she's mixed. And she's not the full Japanese person that they want. Hold on. One second.
Yeah, as Jamie pointed out in sidebar to us, they were planning to kidnap the mother because she's Asian and they wanted to sell her into sex slave.
Going to get to that, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of left that little bit out. I think that nails home just how strange this world is. Where else are you going to just go, hey, look, an Asian person. I'm going to sell her into white slavery. Okay, Bangkok, but still.
I was about to get to that, you know?
What, to Bangkok?
I was going to explain why they needed the mother. But anyway, so after they do that, Aaron actually finds where they are. And so what happens next is, I forget if they were going to kill Mikasa or if they were going to just use her instead. But in any case, Aaron pretends that he's lost and he talks to the dude that's guarding Mikasa. And he just fucking stabs the dude right in the fucking face. And he's like 7, I want to remind you. Maybe like 8 or 9 years old at the very most at this time. And he stabs a dude. He and Mikasa kill fucking everybody. And then they're found. And yeah, that's Mikasa's backstory. She's adopted by Eren's family. Yeah.
That's the big thing. Eren's family takes her in and pretty much raises her as their own.
Yeah, and they're like a little brother-sister thing. It's kind of sweet, but also really sad.
Which makes it really weird when people ship the two of them as a couple. Cause it's like, on one hand, yeah, you've known each other all your lives. But the other hand, you kind of were raised as brother and sister.
Yeah, I mean, there's a stigma, but then again, they're not actually siblings.
Yeah, like I said, it doesn't make it taboo. It just makes it a little odd.
It's a little.
But then again, when your world has gigantic people eating people...
Nothing, anything can happen now.
But yeah, like, there's all sorts of... We're going to get out of order here, because I don't remember the order of the storyline. Because I haven't reread it. I've been reading it month by month as it comes out.
Well, to be fair, the order of the story tends to bounce around a lot. It does tend to go through flashbacks, or it does tend to go through scenes from... certain perspectives of certain people. Like, all this stuff happening at the same time, technically, but they'll go from person to person to person to person to person.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of that. And then later on in the series, there's points where they'll just say, fuck the main storyline for, let's say, 5-6 issues. Let's look at this aspect. Like, the whole thing with the king. That was just rough. Oh, yeah, they find out the king is corrupt to the core. And that...
Yeah, we knew that.
Well, to the point where the king is getting ready to sacrifice all of humanity. If he
just
wasn't...
Just to save himself. Yeah,
just to save himself, because he's a bastard. And
but he's
And the royal family has known, A, why there's titans and haven't told anybody. And B, how to really combat them and keep them the hell away without telling anybody.
Because they're fucking idiots. And they're also selfish.
Because they're selfish assholes, period. The only one of them that's worth a damn is Historia.
Oh, yeah.
And she was the bastard daughter.
Very sad.
Yeah, who becomes queen. Once they, get rid of the old guy.
Yeah, it's really sad, actually. Historia's story is... she was the bastard of a really, really important person later on. And the girl who had her mother, that is, her mother was like, hey, I'm pregnant. And the dad is like, oh, shit, can't do this. And,
it's a very complicated subplot where you find out the king isn't really the king and all this other weird shit.
I was going to try and explain it the best I could, but there's just no real way to do it.
No, that's literally it. The king is not the king. The important secondary character is the real king. Oh, and he has the power of titans. Yay.
I mean, I know, it's just Historia's story only. It's just kind of like, oh god, how do you even...
And that's actually how you find out the most disturbing part about the whole thing. The royal family has the power to turn into, like, the king can turn into a titan. And so can his successor. That's because when they get old enough, they basically take the king and his successor out to this cave and say, eat the king. And the successor does. Thusly inheriting the titan power and all the memories. The king knows why everybody's in the walls. The king remembers the world before the walls. It's just his... When the successor eats the king, they gain part of the personality, too. And the king is an isolationist, stuck-up bastard. So instead of saying, I'm going to help the people, the king's like, I'm going to keep us isolated in these walls... Live fat, and then one day I'm just gonna, kill off all humanity for the hell of it. To save myself.
funsies.
But there's all sorts of neat political intrigue. There's a coup at one point where the Scout Regiment single-handedly takes on the king. Not the Titan King, but, like, the throne. And all this is going on while people are still being eaten, you know? It almost feels like a war on two fronts.
Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah, I'm kind of hoping they leave all that out of the video game and just kind of focus on attacking Titans.
Mm-hmm. That would be really neat. I don't know, back when I was maybe 16, 17, I would have been so crazy about a game like that. Nowadays I'm a little more mellow about it, because it's just been so long.
Well, yeah. But the cool part, and I think what makes it feel more like a traditional style anime is Eren gets new powers as the story progresses. He learns new things his Titan form can do. But first, they find out something really fucked up that I know Dick has been wanting to talk about this entire episode. And that's the walls themselves. They find out something really interesting inside the walls.
Okay, so the part of the story that I'm a little bit more familiar with is that there's actually fucking Titans inside of the walls that they built to keep the Titans out. So that shit that's supposed to protect you, fam, there's actually fucking things that are gonna kill you inside it. Like, what the fuck kind of sense does that make?
You're slightly off. They're not inside the walls. They created the walls.
Oh shit, that's even fucking worse.
Titans can extrude this stuff from their skin that becomes rock hard. Literally, the rings that comprise the walls are Titans standing shoulder to shoulder inside it, completely just upkeeping the walls.
Jesus.
And it's not like they're asleep or anything. They're there. When they show them, their eyes are open. They just don't move or talk. Well, they can't talk anyway. They're fucking Titans. But they don't move.
I must scream.
Yeah.
It is the creepiest shit.
Yeah, they just stand there and stare out. It's horrifying. And I think that's one of the biggest themes of this manga is this sort of body horror. You know, I mean, you got people getting eaten and just screwed up beyond repair. And then you've got these giant, almost caricature-like Titans running around. And they are ultimately creepy.
That is one thing that I noticed very quickly, is there is such a uncanny valley feeling to the Titans. Like, they look so disturbingly human, but not quite.
Yeah, like, when the rest of the characters are drawn in a more realistic anime style, the Titans are very cartoony. Not like Disney cartoony, but they've got exaggerated features. Giant eyes, giant mouths, full of, like, way too fucking many teeth.
Something out of a Burton film, Tim Burton film, so to speak.
So, can somebody answer this question for me? Because I don't know if you can. How did they get the Titans to make the walls?
Ah, that is one thing they have not said yet.
Ah, see, that's what I'm curious about now. Also, you guys have said something about a basement. Does somebody want to take over that?
Kate, here's the time you've been waiting for. This is your moment. This is where you get to rage out about the fucking basement.
How many years has Attack on Titan been out? How many?
At least 7.
It has taken that long to find out what is in the goddamn basement that we heard about in the very first episode or issue, depending on whichever one you looked at first. And And we're just now at the part 7 years later where we find out what's in it, and it's taking its sweet ass time.
I'm sorry, I've been corrected. It's only been 5 years, which is really odd because it releases monthly, and they just last month was issue 80. So, I mean, there's something going on with, obviously the numbering is all there, but the release schedule is, I don't know, doesn't fit the timeline.
It's weird, and I hate it, I hate it, and I hate it, because I want to know what's in the fucking basement. We're gonna find out soon, but they're not doing it yet.
And Aaron's had the key since issue one.
His father gave it to him.
But they had to retake the wall that had been destroyed, and then retake the district from the Titans, and that's what they're trying to do right now. Except for there's three really, really big things in the way. The Colossal Titan, the Armor Titan, and the Beast Titan.
Okay, so I got a question for you then. So, well, actually, it's more of a sort of a speculatory thing that I want to ask your guys' opinion on, but I need to know something first. Has 3D maneuvering gear been around since before this takes place, or is it a relatively new invention?
They have not said, but from the way they talk about it, it's been around for a little while.
From what I gathered, from what I've read so far, that this kind of equipment was specifically designed for fighting Titans. So I would say it was probably not around before whatever cataclysm caused this world.
Okay, because I'm wondering if perhaps maybe his father was a scout and he has 3D maneuvering gear in the basement, and it's like it's his dad's maneuvering gear, so it's special or something?
His dad is actually a scientist. Here's where it gets really horrible, and Kate, you may have to correct me a time or two. Aaron's dad has something in that basement, knowledge-wise, to fight Titans. But he's a scientist, he's not military. But Aaron doesn't even know what's down there. What he does know kind of comes back in flashes from a fever dream after he got injected with something, which they... turns out that something is what gives him the Titan power. I mean, they piece that together, you know? Yeah. They kind of insinuate that Aaron's dad's dead.
Sort of. And I mean, he could definitely be.
Now, this is... I don't know where this is going to sit, but here's speculation. How do you get the Titan power, Kate?
You eat. Oh my god!
You hadn't thought of that, had you?
No, I didn't. Why would he? Well, that doesn't make sense. Why would he?
Wait a minute. Isn't it very early? There's a flashback scene where it shows his father injecting it into him, and then they mention something about he says the key is in the basement or something along those lines.
Yeah, he says the secret's in the basement, mm-hmm, but basically. It's after that point his father is never seen again. So it is entirely possible that Aaron did the unspeakable. I just broke you a little there, didn't I, Kate?
Oh, God.
Ugh, cannibalistic patricide. That's nasty.
Hey, that's how the crown kept going.
I expect that from royalty. Royalty is very, very strange.
I only expect two things from royalty. Inbreeding and eating their parents.
Pretty much.
Yeah, that sounds about right. But yeah. I just can't stop thinking about that now. It's like, there's a possibility Aaron could have done that. And, I mean, that adds a new depth of horror to the fucking series, you know?
As if that wasn't scary enough from what you've already seen. And I'm only like a quarter of the way in.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. But no, it's a great series. You wind up starting out the first half and you have so many fucking questions. You know, where the Titans come from, what's with the irregular Titans, all this shit. Like, you find out really early on about the irregular Titans. There's a very long scene where the scouts are doing a recon mission and the first ever gendered Titan shows up, and it's a gigantic female, and it's chasing them.
And it's Annie.
And it turns out to be one of the secondary characters, Annie. So you find out that somehow these people can do what Aaron is doing, turning into Titans. And you find out the Colossal Titan, that 50-foot-tall, rictus-grinned monstrosity, is not only another person, but is actually kind of friends with Aaron.
Somewhat.
Yeah, I mean, they're at the very least capable of working together and being civil and having at least two or three conversations with meaning, you know? And, of course, logic leads that the Armored Titan is another character. And you sit there for a few issues going, who is it? You find out. Now you're just sitting there going, well, how'd they get that power? Where'd they come from? What's their deal? And that's where the long thought to be a myth is true. There are people living outside the walls among the Titans. Not many of them. You only see three at first. Then a fourth comes in. And she's actually a good guy, though. Ymir.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she's pretty cool.
Oh my god, it's so heartbreaking. But it's so sweet. She's actually pretty much the girlfriend of Historia, pretty much. I mean, they have something going on. They really do.
Yeah, they definitely do. But that's
so cool.
So we figured out four irregular Titans all have identities, right? Aaron is Aaron, of course. Ymir is Ymir. The Colossal Titan and the Armored Titan are Bertolt and Reiner. But then you got this Beast Titan. This Beast Titan is unlike anything anyone's ever seen. It looks like a giant Titan version of an ape. But the really fucked up part is it talks.
It's the craziest shit. At first I actually thought. Sorry, I'm so sorry. It's hard to get to the menu when I'm on my phone. Anyway, but I thought it was his father at first. I was really wondering if that would be him, but then turns out it's fucking not.
Yeah, it turns out it's the war chief of these people living amongst the Titans, and
I really thought.
Yeah, and by kind of like animals, they do communicate. One of the regulars, the Beast, has the power to let out this scream that will attract all Titans in the area to where he is. So they work with like a horde mentality. Then you couple that with the fact this giant fucking ape thing can talk. That's just unnerving.
Oh, God.
Yeah, right?
Jesus.
What was that, Jamie?
I was saying, starting to get into some Full Metal Alchemist kind of shit right here.
I will fully admit, it does not get as out there. So far, it has not gotten as out there as FMA. But I think, I think it's going to get there, though. I mean, there's definitely build-ups to bigger and better mysteries, you know? Other than the one I wish they would answer, which is, what the fuck is in that basement?
It has been way too fucking long.
Okay, so let me get this straight then. Basically, and I know that this isn't a proper way of using this, but basically, have we gotten basically through all the filler and now we're getting to the meat and potatoes, as it were?
The weird thing is, how they let these mysteries out of the bag, there is no filler. It's just, you're going from one mystery to the next and trying to build further. It's really well done. I mean, there's no such thing as extraneous detail.
Interesting. That yeah. Well, it's good to hear that there's no filler. But what I'm trying to say is have we gotten to the point where everything's coming to a head? Then would you say with the current release up to where it is?
Oh yeah, I'm thinking once we find out what's in that basement, we're going to be going into the home stretch, which is going to be finally dealing once and for all with the Titans. Because the creator has said there's about 3 years left. And he releases 40 pages or so every month.
So here's what I'm thinking. Here's what it sounds like is going to end up probably happening. We're going to go through the anime trope of whatever is in that basement is probably going to end up putting Iran into this whole new class of power level, as it were, in terms of like what happens with anime, kind of like with Goku going Super Saiyan 2 and things like that, you know. I think that's probably what's going to end up being that, and it's I have a feeling the fights are going to get a lot more anime, as it were, even though they are pretty anime from what I saw of the anime, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah, it's going to, I'm thinking once they get down there, they're going to find something that's either going to boost Eren's power level, or it's going to give them the information, the history, the things the king did not want anybody to know.
I hope.
Or it's going to raise more questions.
Now, another really cool theme about this, characters die left and right. You get to know somebody's name, and the next thing you know, they're Chao. Even the main characters are not exempt from this. Erwin winds up getting really fucked up and loses an arm. But he still leads his troops, you know? Which is why I love him. It's like, oh, I can't use 3D maneuver gear anymore because I only have one arm. But I'm still, you know, a great strategic mind. So he sticks around and continues to lead. But, and you see people get damaged all the time, either physically or psychologically. Nobody gets out unscathed. And I think that's fitting. I mean, the stakes are literally all of humanity. Nobody should come out completely clean on the other side if they're going to be fighting, you know? But, yeah, I'm thinking this is definitely going to be leading to the final all-out storyline of the scouts versus whatever the fuck, you know, is controlling and leading the real full threat of the Titans. But I've got 3 years to be proven wrong. But I don't really care if I'm wrong, as long as we find out what's in that motherfucking basement.
I don't care at this point either. I really don't. I want.
Well, you know, you say 3 years, and you have to keep it, but not, that's an estimate. I have a friend of mine who has a webcomic. She expected it to be done in 2014, and she's still going. It's still going.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely, as long as there's interest to write and draw it, it could go on probably indefinitely, but I'm going to believe the creator at his word that there is an ending. It may take 3 years, it may take five, whatever. I'll still be reading. Yeah. I'll still be reading. If they don't reveal soon what's in that fucking basement.
Well, you know, even Gilligan got off the island eventually. Then he went right back.
Yeah, but still.
Gilligan wasn't exactly smart.
Yeah, but the professor was smart, and he couldn't fix a hole in the boat.
I was about to say, he can make anything out of fucking coconuts, but he couldn't make a hull.
Yes. Yeah. Can I make it a humorous aside here? Because Russell Johnson actually wrote a book about his experiences and about the lots of technical stuff on that show, and he said that the hole was so badly. So bad and so impossible to fix, even for an experienced carpenter, that they just ended up using the boat as salvage. Sorry, I know that's off topic.
Well, yeah, I mean, it is interesting, though, because I'll be honest, I didn't really think about that either. Mm. Granted, I was never the biggest fan of Gilligan's Island.
I was.
I never watched it.
You're not as old as me.
I was a baby.
Really, this whole freaking... The premise of the podcast is predicated on the fact that most of us are older than the average comic reader. And then here we get Kate on, and she's 12.
Disclaimer, Kate is not actually 12.
She's 14.
And a half.
That too.
I'm in my 30s. You're only 20.
No, but seriously, to that point, when I am like in my 40s, and when I was a kid, this was pre-cable, before it was common for everyone to have cable. That's what we watched, because that was that and the Brady Bunch. That was getting rerun on Saturday afternoon.
Oh yeah, that's how it was even up until my teenage years.
Mm-hmm.
See, I watched Gilligan's Island and Price is Right and all those sorts of shows on a sick day.
Yeah, right? Me too. We are really getting off topic here.
I'd skip school to watch reruns of Dark Shadows.
Oh my god, I love Dark Shadows.
There you go. All right.
That's a good show.
I think we've given this a good once over and left openings for if people want to know more, they can read. I think our job here is done. Any objections?
No, I think we covered it.
Yeah, I think that pretty much covers all of it except what's in that fucking basement.
Now we're just doing it to make Kate rage.
You can choose what's in the basement that Hero said has the key for. There's nothing. You so stupid. Okay, now since we're done making old references.
Well, folks, it's been another episode of Back Issues. Please check us out on iTunes. Subscribe. Rate us. I don't care if you hate this stuff. Just give us a rating, please. We want to know what you people think.
Do it. Checking out the iTunes is really good because that's going to give us a good idea of how much you guys love us. So please do it because we get delicious statistics.
We want your love. We really do.
Give us the clicks.
Well, they want your love and clicks. I just want your undivided attention and, you know, adoration.
What's the difference?
Fair enough. All right. Well, for Back Issues, I'm Jason. I'm here with Dick.
Hey.
Jamie.
Hi.
And Kate. Hope you all enjoyed it. Have fun. Hope you had fun. And we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Yee.